Because the length of the gospel, we're going to invite you to sit down, and you can follow on the breaking of the bread on page 90, the proclamation of the passion. And you can join in reading the words for the crowd. Page 90 in the breaking bread. The passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
"What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said,
"Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
He said,
"Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'"
The disciples did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said to them,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me."
Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him, one after another,
"Surely it is not I, Lord."
He said in reply,
"He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born."
Then Judas, the betrayer, said in reply,
"Surely it is not I, Rabbi."
He answered,
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, and broke it, and giving it to the disciples, said,
"Take and eat. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father."
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"This night all of you will have your faith in me shaken. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be dispersed. But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him in reply,
"Though all may have their faith in you shaken, mine will never be."
Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times."
Peter said to him,
"Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you."
And all the disciples spoke likewise. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me."
He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will."
When he returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
"So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Withdrawing a second time, he prayed again,
"My Father, if it's not possible that this cup pass without my drinking it, your will be done."
Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again, and prayed a third time, and said the same thing again. Then when he returned to his disciples and said to them,
Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand.
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests and elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged a sign with them, saying,
"The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him."
Immediately he went over to Jesus and said,
"Hail, Rabbi."
And he kissed him. Jesus answered him,
"Friend, do what you have come for."
Then, stepping forward, they laid hand on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hand to the sword and drew it, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back into its sheath, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call upon my Father, and he will not provide me at this moment with more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must come to pass in this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I sat teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me. But all this has come to pass that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all of the disciples left him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Peter was following at a distance, as far from the high priest's courtyard. And going inside, he sat down with the servants to see the outcome. Then the chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order to have him put to death. But they found none. The false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and stated, The high priest rose and addressed him,
"Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?"
But Jesus was silent. The high priest said to him,
"I order you to tell us under oath before the living God whether you are the Christ, the Son of God."
Jesus said to him in reply,
"You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his robes and said,
"He has blasphemed. What further need have we of witnesses? You have now heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion?"
They said in reply, Then they spat in his face and struck him, while some slapped him, saying, Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maids came over to him and said, But he denied it in front of everyone, saying,
"I do not know what you were talking about."
As he went out the gate, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, Again he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
A little later, the bystanders came over and said to Peter, At that he began to curse and swear,
"I do not know the man."
And immediately a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." He went out and began to weep bitterly. When it was morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretted what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest, saying,
"I have sinned in betraying innocent blood."
They said, Flinging the money into the temple, he departed and went off and hanged himself. The chief priests gathered up the money, but said, after consultation, they used it to buy a potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why the field, even today, is called Field of Blood. This was fulfilled, what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet. And they took 30 pieces of silver, the value of a man with a price on his head, a price set forth by some of the Israelites. And they paid it out for a potter's field, just as the Lord had commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor and questioned him.
Are you the king of the Jews?
Jesus said,
you say so.
When he heard he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him,
do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?
But he did not answer him one word. So the governor was greatly amazed. Now, on the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, there had been a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when he had assembled them, Pilate said to them,
which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called Christ?
For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was still seated on the bench, his wife sent him a message. Have nothing to do with this righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him. The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas, but not to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply,
which of the two do you want me to release to you?
They answered,
Barabbas.
Pilate said to them,
then what shall I do with Jesus called Christ?
They all said, but he said,
why? What evil has he done?
They only shouted the louder.
When
Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying,
I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves.
And the whole people said in reply, then he released Barabbas to them. But after he had Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole court around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, they spat on him and took the reed, kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to carry his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus a drink of wine mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused the drink. After he was crucified, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. They placed over his head the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
you who destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself, you are the Son of God, and come down from the cross.
Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him and said,
you
The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. From noon onward, darkness covered the whole land until about 3 p.m. And at about 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,"
which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders who heard it said, immediately, one of them ran to get a sponge soaked in wine. Putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said, but Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quakes, rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tomb after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men who had been keeping watch over Jesus feared greatly when they saw the earthquake. And as all of this was happening, they said, there were many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea called Joseph, who himself was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered the body handed over. Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in a new tomb he had hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled a huge stone over the entrance of the tomb and departed. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting there facing the tomb. The next day, following the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Pilate said to them,
"The guard is yours. Go, secure it as best you can."
So they went and secured the tomb by fixing a seal to the stone and setting the guard.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Judas, why did he betray Jesus? It's not because he didn't love Jesus. He followed him for 3 years. It's not because he didn't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He saw the miracles Jesus worked, how he healed the sick, cured the lepers, walked on water, calmed the storm. But Judas had in his own mind what the Messiah should do. He believed that the Messiah should kick the Romans out of Israel and establish Israel as a great nation, like at the times of King David and King Solomon. That's what Judas wanted Jesus to do. And he thought by kind of forcing the issue, going to the high priest and tell him, I'll tell you where he is, when they go to get Jesus, then Jesus will do something about it. Then Jesus will show them his power. Or the least that could happen, that Jesus can walk away as he did many times when the people tried to stone him. But that's not what happened. Judas was trying to get Jesus to do his will rather than him doing and obeying the will of Jesus. And that's why he returned the money back. He wasn't a thief. He didn't care about the money. And his hopes and his dreams were not fulfilled now. And there was no one else to do what he wanted to do. And that's why he took his life and hanged himself. It wasn't out of sorrow for Jesus. It's because his dream, his hope, was gone. Peter too loved Jesus. He followed Jesus. He saw his miracles. And every time Jesus told him that he had to go to Jerusalem to suffer and die, Peter tried to stop him. But not because he had a hidden agenda or a different thing that he thought Jesus should do, but because he loved Jesus, he cared about Jesus. He spoke from his heart. He didn't want to see Jesus suffer. But yet too, he also resisted doing what Jesus told him that he should do, even if it's out of compassion and love. So when the time came for him to stand up and speak the truth, he denied Jesus. He said, I don't know this man. I'm not a Galilean. I'm not one of his followers. It's not about whether we have our own ideas and we follow Jesus or whether we love Jesus with compassion. The question is, are we willing to accept the will of God for us as Jesus did? It's about being obedient to the will of God, to Jesus. That's what Jesus did. Jesus knew exactly what's going to happen if he went to Jerusalem. It wasn't like he was a victim, kind of, you know, the circumstances overpowered him. He knew exactly what's going to happen. And yet, he did pray that God will take away that cup from him. He wasn't mad at God. He didn't abandon God. He kept calling him, my God, my God, my Father. Even on the cross, he shouted out, my God, my God. Yes, it wasn't easy to suffer and be crucified and die on the cross in a humiliating way. But there was something more important for Jesus, and that's to obey God, because he knew that God is his Father. He will never abandon him. So he said yes to the cross. When he prayed, God listened to his prayers. He listened to his prayers, but not doing what Jesus was asking him to do. Because God was thinking of all of us today and every day, people throughout the centuries. God wanted to rescue Jesus, but he wanted to save all of us. And he knew by listening to the prayers of Jesus, we won't have the opportunity to be saved and one day be with him in heaven. But God gave him the strength, the courage. Although he was distressed and sweating blood, yet when finally he stood up, he had the courage to find those who came for him. He told his disciples, put down the swords. God gave him the courage to carry his cross in a dignified manner, in a noble way, fit for a king. And that's what he did. Sometimes people tell us, well, put yourself in those, you know, dreadful night and day. If you were there, what would you have done? What would you do? And that's good for us to think about it. But more important is, what are we doing today? Because that passion repeats itself over and over in our daily lives. Every day, every opportunity for us, we are faced with those questions. Because we too sometimes, like Judas, we have our own mind, our own will. We want God to do what we want him to do. In other words, we're saying, I'm God and Jesus, you follow me. Do what I want you to do. And when that doesn't happen, we too, like Judas, lose hope and we leave God. We turn our back to God because God did not give us what we asked him to do. A lot of times we're like Peter. We love Jesus. We're following him. We're his disciples. But out of compassion, we don't stand up for the truth and speak out when we need to speak out the truth that Jesus died for. So we deny him. We keep quiet. We go along with the crowd, with the flow, rather than by speaking the truth, help him to know Jesus and his love and care for them. And we can be like Jesus too. We can accept our cross. Not that we shouldn't pray like Jesus prayed, Lord, let this cup pass by me. But always ended up on what Jesus said. But only if it is your will, not if it is mine. And never forget that this God is our Father. He loves us more than anyone else. He loves us more than we love ourselves. And he knows what's best for us more than what we know. We need to trust him. And like Jesus, be obedient to him till the end.